this week I want to continue the idea of what it means to be a true Christian, or what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many people, and even some Christians, have a mistaken idea of what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. You know, they live their life however way, whichever way they want, and then when they are in trouble, then they come to Jesus and say, "Lord, save me," or "Lord, help me out of this, you know, this mess that I created for myself." Or some will just, you know, come to Jesus and say, "Hey, Lord, I want, you know, certain things that, and you being Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides, that, you know, you should provide for me, you know, whatever, you know, money, mansions, cars, whatever they want." Unfortunately, this is not how we should treat God. Many people have a mistaken idea. You know, they think that Jesus is their Savior, but they don't treat Him as their Lord. Meaning that whenever they are in trouble, when they are in need, then they run to Jesus and saying, "Lord, save me, Lord, save me." But the rest of the time, they just live their lives however way they want. They are the one who sets their own agenda. They are the one who sets their own goals and purposes. They are the one to, you know, who wants to live life however they want. They took Jesus as Lord out of the equation, and you know, because they like Jesus as their Savior, meaning that whenever they are in trouble, they can just run to Jesus and say, "Jesus, save me," that they think that means that they are Christians. But unfortunately, this is not the way the Bible teaches us of how of what being a true Christian really means. Many people treat God as if He's a money tree, that whenever they need money, they just run to Him and ask Him for money. Or they treat God as a genie in a bottle, that whenever whatever whims and wants that they want, they just, you know, rub the bottle and then the genie has to provide whatever they want. Well, that's not who God is. In fact, the fact that He is God, meaning that He created us, means that we are His servant, not the other way around. If we actually read the Bible, we can see that there is a strict requirement that Jesus gives of what it means to be His disciple. One passage is actually found in Luke 14, verses 25 to 33. So let's turn to Luke 14, verse 25 to 33, and let me read that passage from you. This is for you. This is Luke 14, verse 25. "Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple.'" This is Jesus speaking. "And whoever does not bear his cross that come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Verse 31. "Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks the conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple." In fact, Jesus is giving a prerequisite or a precondition of what it means to become His disciple. In fact, what Jesus is saying is that you have to be willing to do these things before you can even think of yourself or go down the path of becoming His disciple. And these are actually really strict conditions that Jesus is saying. Many people get stumped at just at looking, you know, at verse 26, because in that verse, Jesus actually used the word hate. He's saying that if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his mother and father, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. And many people, you know, will come and start thinking, "Wait a minute, I thought Jesus preached the gospel of love. You know, that he means, you know, He wants you to love one another. He wants you to love your enemies. He wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. How come, you know, why did Jesus use the word hate here?" Well, in order to answer that, we have to think it in context and what Jesus means. What He's saying is that comparatively, the way you love God and the way you love your father and mother, if there is a conflict of interest, God should come first. if there is a conflict of interest between you loving your father and mother versus you loving in God, if there's a conflict of interest between you loving your wife and your children, your brothers and sisters, and even your own life versus you loving God, there shouldn't even be a conflict because God should come first. That's what Jesus is meaning. That you love God so much that every other relationship seems like it's a hate relationship because there is no conflict. There should not be any conflict because God should come first. And this is in sync with what Jesus said, you know, is the greatest commandment. You know, if you remember the story, a teacher of the law actually came to Jesus one day and said, okay, Jesus, you know, there are so many commands in the Old Testament, and God gives us so many commands to the Jewish people, in fact, to everyone, that, you know, what is the most important commandment? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus turned around and said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And the second is that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. So, you know, there's actually a numerical difference in importance here, meaning that the greatest commandment is to love God first, then the second commandment is to love others. Loving God becomes our first priority. The greatest commandment should remain the greatest commandment. You know, the second commandment, although it is important, it is good, loving others, loving your neighbors as you love yourself, it cannot replace the greatest commandment, which is to love God. This is basically what Jesus is saying when he told us, you know, what the greatest commandment is. This is also what Jesus is saying in Luke 14, verse 26, that God should take priority. No other relationship can compare with our love relationship with God. No other relationship, even those that you know, are good within the family structure, you know, our father, mother, wife, our children, our brothers and sisters, and in fact, not even our own life could compare with how much we love God, or should compare with how much we love God. As I said, if there is a conflict of interest, God should come first. God should be the priority. That's why it means, you know, what Jesus says, that the greatest commandment is the greatest commandment, which is to love God with everything we got. Then the second commandment is to love others as we love ourselves. And in fact, Jesus went on in saying that if you fulfill these two things, or these two commandments, you have fulfilled the whole law, the whole Old Testament law. In fact, the whole law that God has given us. To love God first and foremost, and God as priority, then loving others as we love ourselves. If you want to read more about the greatest commandment, one good place to start is actually Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 40. That's where this whole story about, you know, the person coming to Jesus and saying, what is the greatest commandment? Once again, it's in Matthew 22, 35 to 40, but we won't go further into this. Basically what Jesus is saying, that, you know, just love God above everything else. That's actually a prerequisite. If you don't do that, you know, you cannot be his disciple. And Jesus goes on and gives us two examples of what it means, you know, what the kind of mentality that we should have before we even say, yes, we want to become his disciples. The first example that he gives is actually someone who is building a tower. And, you know, the second example he went on is actually a king going to war with another king. And let's deal with the first example, which is someone building a tower. This is what he says in verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was able to finish. So what Jesus is saying, that, you know, first of all, we have to count the cost. We have to sit down and say, okay, are we able and willing to do this? And in verse 27, what Jesus is saying, that, you know, we have to bear our own cross. And if we are not willing to do that, we cannot become his disciple. We have to be willing to bear through hardship. We have to be willing to bear through any ridicule or any tough situation if we want to become his disciple. We have to have the heart and the willingness to do it. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, becoming a Christian does not mean that we become perfect immediately. You know, does not mean that we stop sinning, or does it mean that, you know, suddenly life becomes, you know, all good and easy, and you know, no troubles will befall on us? Becoming a Christian does not mean all that. Becoming a Christian means that we have, first of all, count the cost that, yes, there will be tough times, yes, there will be troubles, but God will be there with us, and God will be there to see us through in it. But we have to have the perseverance to be able to go through that. We have to be able to have enough in us to be able to finish building the tower, per se. Building a tower is not some easy task that you know, people just do it on a whim. But building a tower means that you know, first of all, it's hard work, and actually, when we finish it, it's actually a grand structure. It's good. It makes us feel good. But going through the whole process, going through laying the bricks one by one, is not an easy job. And in fact, it probably takes a long time, or takes a while before the tower is finished. So what Jesus is saying that becoming a Christian does not immediately mean overnight we become perfect immediately. However, we have to sit down and say, are we willing to bear all the ridicule, all the pain, all the hardship in order to live this Christian life? Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to count the cost, knowing that this is not an easy road? This is not something that can be done, in a short time. In fact, it probably takes the rest of our lives in order to follow Christ and becoming more like Him each and every day. So what Jesus is saying that, hey, before you claim to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, before you came, you want to become a disciple of this, sit down and count the cost. It's not an easy task, because building a tower is not an easy task. However, after you finish it, it's going to be a grand thing, it's going to be a great thing. But you're doing the process, it's going to take time, it's going to take hard work, it's going to, you'll probably go through hardships, other people will laugh at you, ridicule you, scorn you. Are you willing to count the cost and say, yes, even though I may run through, tough times, even though there may be difficulties, but I am still willing to follow Jesus Christ and to follow Him to the end? So, let's do a recap. Is what Jesus is saying that, hey, you have to, in order to be His disciple, first of all, you have to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And second of all, you have to be willing to count the cost, meaning that, there will be hardship. It's not going to be, sunshine and breezes and nice wind, green grasses, sweet-smelling flowers all the time. There will be hard times, there will be hardships. Are you willing to bear through it? Are you willing to, by the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit living within us, to persevere through it, so that at the end, we can see our completed structure of a grand tower, or at the end we can see that our life is actually something that God molded and shaped into a wonderful thing. And the second example that He gives is actually an example of a king going to war with another king, and this is found in Luke chapter 14, verse 31 to 33. So let me read it to you. And Jesus is still saying, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So, the first example is Jesus showing us someone who's building a tower, and he has to first count the cost. And the second example, what Jesus is showing us, is that it's a king going to war against another king. Once again, this is also a king who's trying to figure out whether he can match up with an opposing army, that with his 10,000, can he come and fight against this king with 20,000 army? Jesus is also saying that You know, before we take the plunge, or before we claim to be disciples of His, before we can claim to be true Christians, let's just sit down and say, are we willing? Are we willing to forsake all that we have? Because if we can't, we cannot be considered His disciple. This is actually a recap of verse 33, which is the recap of the whole three verses from 31 to 33, where Jesus said, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. This is a powerful prerequisite. You know, Jesus is saying, are you willing to forsake everything that you have? If not, you're not counting the cost. You're not reaching the criteria of what it means to be a disciple of his. Unfortunately, many people, even some within the churches, love the idea of, you know, having a pre-built tower already made that they can just walk in and claim that this is theirs. Many people love the idea that, you know, they are kings. You know, kings live in, you know, wonderful palaces, beautiful palaces. They have servants, many servants to serve them, all their needs. You know, they can, you know, tax the people and have nice jewelries and whatever. But they haven't counted the cost, meaning that, you know, before you have a nice structure, nice beautiful tower, you have to go through the hard work of actually planning it and building it. And in order to, you know, a king has, you know, it's just not a wonderful life, as in like in fairy tale, but instead, you know, sometimes the king has to figure out, he has to go to war against other kings, he has to, you know, be diplomatic about, you know, certain things. Otherwise, you know, his kingdom will be overrun by another king. So, in the same way, you know, when people think that Christianity just means, you know, that God is the genie in the bottle, or God is the money tree that they can, you know, shake and have money, they haven't truly counted the cost. You know, if people who are thinking that, you know, they can just hold on to a ticket to heaven, meaning that they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, but not living their life recognizing Him as their Lord, or not living their life with Jesus as the center, as the most important priority in their life, then they have truly not counted the cost yet. They have not truly even entered the prerequisite of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because all these are actually prerequisites. What Jesus is saying is that, hey, first of all, sit down, count the cost before you even take the step of becoming his disciple. And he's showing us basically three things. The first thing is found in verse 26, in Luke 14, verse 26, where Jesus is saying, are you willing to make God the priority of your life over and above any other relationships that you have? Even maybe the closest human relationship ever, a father and mother to children, a wife to a husband, you know, brother to brother or sister to sister, and in fact even your own life. Are you willing to make God the Lord of your own life? And the second one is Jesus saying, are you willing to bear your own cross? That yes, there will be hardship, yes, there will be tough times, and yes, God promised that, you know, through those hardships and through those tough times, God will be there with us, but and God will not fail his own word, so he will be there with us. But God is asking, hey, will you be there with him through the tough times, through the hardships? And the last prerequisite, what God is saying, is that are you willing to forsake everything you have to be a servant of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? So there's this is just three prerequisites that God says that Jesus gave us to, in order for us to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And these three are basically things that we have to be willing to do. Remember, as I said, you know, a tower is not built in a day. A tower takes time and it takes effort. Likewise, you know, a Christian life is not immediately, you know, we become a Christian and the next day our whole life is perfect, or our whole attitude, you know, is suddenly have all the, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness that, you know, which the Bible teaches us that we should have. But are we willing to take the time? Are we willing to take the energy to go to walk through that? Even through hard times, we will still stick by God. Even through times, difficult times, that we will still say, yes, God, I still believe in you, and I still believe that you are here with me, and you are here to see me through all these hardships and all these tough times. Being a disciple of Christ does not mean that we have to go through it alone. Being a disciple of Christ doesn't mean that that we can live our lives however way, whichever way we want, and then once in a while when we're in trouble, then we run to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. That's recognizing him as our Savior per se, not really recognizing him as our Lord. But being a true disciple of Christ, which, through the requirements that Jesus showed us, in fact, through the prerequisite that Jesus showed us in Luke 14, 25-33, it shows that someone who is saying that, yes, God is the first priority in my life, and I'm willing to bear my cross, and I'm willing to forsake everything for him. If and when I'm willing to do that, then I have fulfilled the prerequisite of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Then I can also, because I'm willing to do that, I can enjoy all the benefits of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So for all of you who are willing, let's just end this time with prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to come and help us to say yes to all these requirements. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just reminding us, Lord, that being a disciple of Christ does not mean that, we can take advantage of your love and take advantage of your grace. It does not mean that, we can live our lives however way, whichever way we want, and then when we are in trouble or when we have made a mess of all things, then we run to you. Lord, in fact, Lord, you gave us the prerequisites of what it means to be a disciple of yours. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will touch us, and Lord, that will give us the boldness and the willingness to say, yes, Lord, I am willing. I am willing to make you the priority of my life, Lord, above and beyond everything else. Lord, my love relationship with you takes priority. And Lord, I am willing to bear my own cross, knowing that, Lord, being a disciple of yours does not mean I will not run into hardship, but in fact, Lord, through those hardships, I can experience you even more. And Lord, yes, I am willing, Lord, to lay down my life and lay down everything I own for the sake of knowing you, just as Paul says, Lord, that everything else is as rubbish to him compared to the knowing you, compared to a relationship of loving you, Lord. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit that you will come and guide us and give us the strength to say yes to all these prerequisites, and Lord, that you will come and guide us and speak to us of what it means to be a disciple of yours. Thank you, Lord, for your love. And once again, Lord, I ask that you will stretch out your hand and touch those who are in need, Lord, and touch those, especially those who have given their life to you and saying that, Lord, we want to be your true disciples. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.